Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
And a very good afternoon. We're getting very close to kickoff now. It's only a couple of sleeps away and we're back in at the NRL for 2020. Anthony Maroon is my name. We better get stuck into it because we've got an interview waiting on the line there. Joining me today for the show, as they always do, the great Gordon Tallis in our Brisbane studio. Hello, Gordy.
Good afternoon, Anthony. Good afternoon, everybody.
Love the Titans polo top today, the Titans track top. That looks fantastic.
Yeah, it's a bit chilly in Queensland, actually. Mm-hmm. Woke up as about 11 degrees, so the woolies have come out.
Now, it must be cold if you've put that on. Mm. And from Fox...
you couldn't help yourself, could you? Hey?
Can we get to the serious stuff, Anthony, before you make a fool of yourself?
Paul Kent, when's NRL 360 start again, mate?
Tomorrow night, mate.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah, so looking forward to that. It's been a bit of a spell for us all, so like everybody, excited the footy's about to start again.
Absolutely. James Hooper, of course, from Fox League as well. Been a busy week for you.
Always, Anthony.
Okay, well, before we go to the phones, in fact, we might... No, he's just dropped out there for a second. Maroon's poll for today is a good one. On the back of the Warriors being able to borrow players for their campaign, the poll is... Do you like the idea of player loans? Should player loans be a thing every club can do? Should player loans be part of the NRL and something that every club can do? You can go to our NRL Facebook page if you would like to have your vote on that.
Well, they're already kind of doing it, aren't they?
Are they?
Well, Harry Grant's gone to the Tigers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He'll be back in Melbourne. He left Melbourne after training there all summer. He's at the Tigers and he'll be back there again next year.
And so. Paul Momorowski to the Storm.
Mm. There you go.
We might have an opportunity to talk about that. Josh Hodgson we're just having trouble getting through. We've had him up a couple of times and he just drops out. So obviously he's from the Canberra Raiders. Just as a little bit of an intro to this here, Hoops, John Bateman, the player for the Canberra Raiders, who's apparently on about $580 a year and looking for $800,000 a year, been given permission to shop it around. But you and him, he's sort of taken exception on Twitter as to what you've had to say about his situation.
Yeah, look, I've got the utmost respect for John Bateman as a player. I don't think the Raiders make the grand final last year without him. But I'm also a big fan, Anthony, of putting the shh in Twitter.
Yep.
Shitter. Because it's a sewer social media full of toxic rubbish. Mm. And look, John's well within his rights to have his say on there, but I stand by the story. His agent has been repeatedly at the Canberra Raiders agitating for a release since the grand final last season.
Who's his agent?
His agent is Isaac Moses, mm-hmm. who wasn't his agent when he signed with the Canberra Raiders. And as a result, I don't think John Bateman will be at the Canberra Raiders next year.
Okay.
Really?
No, I don't think he will be.
All right. Well, look, what he said on Twitter was, pointing this obviously to you, Hoops, you better stick to polishing that bald head, big fella, because you're crap at being a journo. It's got the emoji for a crap. Never once have I asked for a release. He says, bullshit story. But anyway, let's talk to one of his teammates from the Canberra Raiders. Joining us on NRL Sunday right now, Josh Hodgson. Welcome, old mate.
Hey, mate. How are you doing?
Fantastic. Couple of sleeps away. You open your account against a good rival there, Melbourne. Last couple of clashes with Melbourne. Been big games, haven't they?
Yeah, they always are. You know, what a good team they are, and we've got a pretty physical side too. So it's usually a pretty fiery encounter. We've obviously had a couple of results the last couple of games, but it's always a really close game there. So it'll be a great opener for us. A really good test, see where we're at after a break, and really excited to go again.
Josh, Melbourne Storm have got a marvellous record under Craig Bellamy, where every season that he's been there, they've always won their opening encounter. They did that again this year, obviously. But with the unexpected break that we've had, they've had almost another little mini pre-season. How formidable a challenge is that going to be for you, Blacks then?
Yeah, they're always a big challenge, mate. And I think, you know, especially after we've probably had a couple of good results over them in the back end of last season, especially at their own place, you know, they're probably a team who takes that very personal, and they're probably a little bit similar to us in that way, where you do take it personal when an opposition gets one above you and gets one over you, and you want to try and, you know, right in the wrong, so to speak. So, definitely expecting a really, really tough first encounter, mate. You've always got to be good and really high completion rates, and making sure you're pretty clinical when you go down there if you want to get results. So, as I said, it's a great test for us for the first game.
Josh, your countryman and teammate John Bateman hasn't missed me on Twitter over the last 48 hours. You're managed by the same bloke. What can you tell us about it all?
Not a lot, to be honest, mate. I've obviously spoke to John at training, and he's obviously said it's nonsense. But you know, I've a few things get written about managers and what they should be doing, what they are doing, and whatnot. But you know, my view on it is, you know, you're the bloke who's got to put pen to paper, and you're your own man. You know, as much as you have a manager, they can only give you advice or maybe try and steer you one way. At the end of the day, you're your own man. You make your own decisions, and you put the pen on a bit of paper for whatever you want to sign. So, you know, that whatever decision John makes, it'd be John's choice. I've no doubt about that. He's a good kid. He's got a real strong personality. He's not one to be swayed by many people. So, and I know, I also know he's happy in Canberra, which is a really good thing for us because he's such a talented player. But he's obviously a kid we want to tie down, but he's obviously off contract. I think it's the end of 21, so it'd be something we're trying to do now, but I obviously don't know the ins and outs of logistics to that. I need that to stay between Donnie and John.
But he has been given permission now to to go out to the market and to test his value, which is something that the Raiders initially denied him, but they continued to press through him and his manager, so they've now allowed him to do that. I know you don't like to say it's a distraction, but certainly it's not something that's ideal.
No, you know, let's be honest. You don't want your better players looking, shopping yourself around and looking to move from your club. You know, he's one of the better players now outside. He's had a fantastic year for us last year, and he adds that little bit of something extra that we probably hadn't had in years before, that bit of aggression on an edge and that bit of competitive streak which he brings to every game. So we definitely don't want to lose a kid like that, and you know, we'll be doing everything we can to make sure we don't. As I said, I don't know exactly where they're at with it, but you know, hopefully we can get it all done. I know he's really happy in Canberra, and we've got quite a few English lads here, which obviously helps when you're away from home. So, you know, hopefully we can get it all sorted in the end. But, yeah, it's a bit up in the air at the moment.
As captain, what do you say to him?
Oh, just leaning on, more giving him a shoulder to lean on, mate, more than anything. He's going through a bit of an injury at the moment. He's been in rehab for a long time now. So, you know, and all this coming out, it's a bit much, and he's away from his family. He was supposed to have his little girl come over a few weeks ago, and obviously with everything happening, that hadn't happened either. So it's been a tough few weeks for him, and I think it's you know, it's just more about being there for him as a mate, and just anything he needs, to be honest.
Hey mate, how far? So if you had a percentage on how fit and ready you were, you know, after the pre-season for round one, where do you reckon you guys are at now as a playing group?
Well, mate, I've been really impressed, to be honest. I was speaking with Stick about that the other day. You know, probably had a few worries about, you know, what kind of shape blokes was going to come back in, especially with, you know, the schedule being pretty full on. There's really no time for catch-up. So we had a bit of a chat about that in terms of how good everyone's come back. Even the big fellas have all been flying. So I think we're as good as we could be. I think, you know, all our fitness times when we're doing the drills, which are, you know, pretty tough, no one's ever missing a time and everyone's on the money. So, you know, from that kind of thing, I think it's just everyone needs that game fitness now and ready to go again.
Josh, do you think there's an advantage for some teams through this? Like, have you guys viewed the return that way, that if you're all spot on and you can probably jump a start on a few other clubs that perhaps haven't been as diligent through isolation?
Yeah, that's probably, you know, one thing we have touched about, me and Rick, is that's probably the hope, I suppose. It's... you know, when we know we've ticked every box we could, there isn't really a box that we haven't. So I think, you know, if no one has ticked a box, I think we would have a little bit of a head start on them in terms of fitness-wise. But, you know, anyone that's played the game will know themselves, you need to, you know, play a couple of games to get fully match fit. But in terms of preparation, I think we've done everything we could. I thought the first two games that we got off to a good start, and we really had some good combinations in the spine has obviously been a massive boost going into a break, because, you know, if you're 0-2 going into that break, you've got a lot of weeks to think about those question marks. So I think the form going into the break has really helped us too.
The draw came out this week, and the Raiders, I think it's fair to say, are probably more disadvantaged than any other team. Your home ground is Campbelltown, which is a 3-hour trip up the freeway to go and play, or an hour's flight, which we all know an hour's flight's never just an hour by the time you get to the airport, fly, and then bus to the ground. In fact, the hour flight will probably end up nearly 3 hours anyway by the time you go through all that. And obviously, I think the thing that people don't realise is that after the game, instead of being able to just go back and start your rehab back at your hotel like you have in the past, you're not allowed to stay at a hotel. You have to return home immediately. So that's also going to be a real issue. Can you tell us how that was received this week?
Yeah, it was a bit of a shock, to be honest, Matt. We kind of got told by a stick that he's pushing to try and get us to stay overnight the night before, because we were going to have to, you know, first and foremost, the talk was we're going to have to travel up on the day in a bus, obviously, for 3 or 4 hours, play a game, and then 3 or 4 hours back. But thankfully, when we play at Campbelltown, we fly up, bus back, but we're not allowed to stay over. And by the sounds of things, the away games could still be that we're going to have to bus up to Sydney and bus back. So if we play at Bank West or any of the other stadiums, then we're going to have to bus up on the day, play the game, and then bus back. So there's a fair bit of travel from our point of view. You know, but from us as a group, we always try and put a bit of a positive spin on it and really try and see it as a challenge. And probably one of the good things about our team is our away form is probably better than our home form. So for us, that's probably the mindset we've tried to put on that, and more see it as a challenge than a disadvantage.
How big disadvantage physically does that put you guys in?
Yeah, it does, mate. There's no shying away from it. If you're sitting on a bus for 8 hours in a day or 6 hours, whatever it might be, as well as playing a game, and then, you know, you're hoping to be on the field another two and a half days later to have a bit of a run out, straight away the physios and the our strength and conditioning coach and all that, alarm bells are going to be ringing for hamstrings and backs and groins. So it definitely puts you at a disadvantage. Your loads have got to come down a lot. And, you know, especially if you have a short turnaround and you have to do that same kind of travel again, you know, five, 6 days later. So, something we're going to have to manage. It's one of them things that's just, you know, no one really saw coming. But we was hoping we'd be able to fly up on the day for all the games, but apparently that's not the case. So, as I said, we're not really the type of team that likes to sit and have a whinge, but is a bit of a disadvantage. It's a bit unfair in some regards, but as I said, we're just trying to see it as a challenge.
Okay, mate. Good to catch up with you, Josh, and all the very best for the remainder of the season.
Cheers, guys. Thanks for having me.
There he is, Josh Hodgson, joining us from the Canberra Raiders hoops. And so to Paul Kent, Gordy Tallis, Maroon. Now, on the back of that, there's a number of questions we could ask. First off, hoops, let's start with John Bateman. He's testing the open market. Is there a club more so than others that are looking at this bloke?
Oh, I think as it sits at the moment, Anthony, the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs, yep, and also the St George Illawarra Dragons are the two teams that are certainly having a strong look at John and would love to try and get him there for next season. I think that surprises a lot of people. Certainly it caught me out of left field when I initially got wind of the fact that John's management had been agitating at the Canberra Raiders to try and get a release. Mm. But then if you go back to last year's grand final, in grand final week, he actually did a story which created a number of headlines at the time where he pointed out how he had changed manager and he was going to have a look around in the new year, even though he was still under contract and the Raiders have got him signed for this season and signed for next season.
But Gordon, well, that nullifies my question, Hoops. I was going to say, was there a chance that he doesn't know that his manager was doing it? Because Isaac Moses isn't getting any money off him, so he needs to sign him a new contract. So is he the shark in all this?
Well, certainly Isaac is the agent at the centre of everything, 100%, Gordon. And look, John was originally signed with an English agent, and then yep, Isaac acquired John last year, leading into the grand final. Then that story comes out in grand final week where John Bateman says, I've got a new manager. It is Isaac Moses. I'm not sure about my future, but we are going to be having a look around. Now, when you're contracted until the end of 2021, I wouldn't have thought that's the ideal type of a statement to make in grand final week. Further to that, you know, the reporter who wrote that story at the time actually went back to John and said, mate, are you sure you want to go on the record with this in grand final week? And he said, yeah, no, absolutely, 100%, no problem. Mm. Then when he won the Dally M second row of the year at the Dally M Awards, he went on the record and said, no, I was taken out of context. The story wasn't accurate. So in relation to what John's had to say on Twitter, look, he's more than entitled to go as hard as he wants. That's life. There's no issues there. But I reckon he's ducking and diving a little bit. And I think he certainly should be aware that his agent has been making all sorts of moves behind the scenes. And in all likelihood, I think it'll be very surprising. And it's sad that John Bateman won't be at Canberra next year, because they don't make the grand final without him last season. And Ricky and Don Ferner have done this brilliant job with this recruitment policy out of the north of England and getting the likes of Josh Hodgson and Elliot Whitehead and John. And you know, it's such a good core group of players there. And they've got a chance to win a premiership.
Oh, yeah.
But he wants, you know, he's had outside influences in his ear telling him he's worth more money than this, around the $600,000 mark, which he is on, which is damn good
money. That's pretty, yeah. I reckon it's pretty good coin.
Yeah.
You know,
and play then, for a good club.
And then I'd keep on talking about the managers, because they're the ones that make these players look bad. To me, he seems like a pretty fair guy that, you know, loves playing footy, plays the old fashioned way. He's got a heap of English mates there, you know, and it looks like home to him, you know. And then you've got a manager that's pushing because he's trying to clip his ticket. And he's making him look bad when Isaac's the one that sits in the background. No one knows his face, but he makes a lot of players look bad.
Paul, player managers, now whether it's Isaac Moses or whether it's the guy in the UK, whoever it is, as a player manager, isn't he entitled to say to this bloke when he's sending out tweets in grand final week, mate, pull your head in. This is not the time to be worrying about all that.
Well, yeah, you could do that, or you could say, mate, continue agitating and we'll try and get a pay rise. It was no better time to get publicity than grand final week for a player. So it just depends what your motivation and what your purpose is. I like a lot of player managers, and I have an issue with a few of them, the way they do business. What I would say to players somehow for some reason, we've just seen three blokes get sacked from the Queensland Reds because they refused to take the pay cuts that Rugby Australia were asking all the players to take. Refused to take a pay cut.
Yeah.
And they had a manager in there. Now, I don't think it's a coincidence that all three players are managed by the same person. And he was in their ear telling them not to do it. That basically tried to call Rugby Australia's bluff.
Yep.
And found out that it wasn't an ambit threat. It was a legitimate threat. And suddenly they're sacked. So now they've got to try and find deals and can't go overseas and play.
So, yeah, players, don't they realise the borders are closed? You've got Ben Teo and Quade Cooper that played, I think, in Japan that can't go back over there, that they're looking for an NRL job.
Yeah, Gordon, the problem is, though, players forget that the manager is their employee. They're paying the manager. They're not working for the manager. The manager's working for them. Yeah, you know, you've only got to look last year what happened to Latrell Mitchell. Latrell Mitchell was offered $800,000 by the Roosters to extend his contract. And Latrell literally laughed, because at the time all the dialogue around the game was that he was worth $1 million a year, which he was never worth that. Okay. But there was people saying he's worth $1 million a year. There was talk of a 10-year, $10 million deal at Canterbury, which never actually was offered. It was just talk around people spruiking. Now, I don't think it was a coincidence at the same time that Latrell was having troubles with his manager. And, you know, he's now since found a new manager. Managers, mate, you're worth more than this. I can get you more than this, but your current manager is not getting you this money. He needs to get you this money. And then the player sits there and thinks, well, why stay with this manager? That manager can get me extra money. So that's the way they do. They'll swap over. So Latrell Mitchell did that, knocked back $800,000 because everyone's talking about he's $1 million a year player. He's signed at South for $600,000. So he's cost himself $200,000.
Okay. And they don't realise those sort of players are paying their managers $30,000 to $50,000 a year.
Well, Gordon,
a normal person goes to work for 38 hours a week for that.
Yeah, and what people don't realise.
These for three meetings.
What people don't realise is from the manager's point of view. So, Anthony, if I'm managing you, okay, and you're doing this excellent job here at Triple M like you always do every Sunday. Yes. But if I'm managing you and you're getting paid, you know, your $15,000 a year that you get paid, right, then Hoops comes along and says, mate, Anthony, I'll manage you and I'll take you to
15 and a half.
I can get you 15 and a half at community radio.
They'll throw in a Toyota Yaris. Right?
But what I'm saying is you start to look at the extra money and you say, yeah, well, I might do that. Now, if what ends up happening is you go to the market, you leave me, you go and get managed by Hoops, And Hoops goes to Barker and can't get the money for you and says, come back and says, mate, I'm sorry, I can only get you 14 grand, not 15. You think, oh, well, bugger that. This is exactly what's happened to Latrell, right? He's had to take a pay cut.
And this is exactly what's happened to John Bateman.
It's happening to John Bateman.
In this instance.
Well, the money John Bateman's seeking right now.
Is what, 800?
Is money he knocked back halfway through last year when he wanted an extension. Okay. So just bear that in mind. But see, what ends up happening is when you go to the new manager, it's the new manager, he doesn't mind so much because he's now getting, he's ticket clipped, as Gordon said, as opposed to the other manager getting the 6%. He's now getting the 6%, so it doesn't matter either way. I'll tell you a story a couple of years, many years ago, back in the old days. A manager, a couple of blokes were managed by the same guy, okay? And one of the more prominent managers came to them and said, listen, your manager's just he's an amateur. He was basically a friend of the family looking after him. You need to get some more money. And they said, well, mate, we've just negotiated a deal. It's pretty good. And he said, what's that? And he said, well, I've got you 300 for you and 400 for you, right? And the manager, the new manager, the high-profile manager said, mate, you should be getting more. I'll get you more than that. So they sacked their manager, who they didn't pay a commission to, and they got the new guy to do it. And he went and did all the negotiations and came back after a month or so and said, couldn't get you any more. Sorry about that. And they were, oh, okay. He said, by the way, here's my fee. They had to pay the commission.
Yeah. They're worse off.
But they were worse off. They had less money in their pocket than before the whole experience began. And that's what happens so often. So many of these players get so naive. I don't know for the life of me. It's almost like it's when you come through as a kid, it's a status symbol to have a manager, okay? You get 15-year-old kids at schoolboy carnivals who they've got a manager and the kid in the opposition hasn't. So the kids get a status out. It's like when you get your first tracksuit from the club, your first Broncos tracksuit or your first, Manly tracksuit. It's a status thing. So a manager's a status thing. But then I think there's a lot of players who don't need managers. I spoke to one manager once and he was telling me, I said, mate, tell me about one of his players who was a really good player. And he said, mate, he's a great kid. He said, mate, the only time I see him is every 3 years when it's time to renegotiate his contract. And I thought, well, what's he paying you for? Seriously, you only see him once every 3 years to renegotiate. You take your clip out of his extension. Like the player could have got the same money anyway. Like, why not go to a lawyer, right? Who your manager's got to eventually go through a lawyer anyway. Why not go straight to the lawyer, pay him an hourly rate, and negotiate the deal yourself?
Absolutely.
Back to John Bateman. I think it's sad what's happening with John Bateman because he's come out here, he's established himself, he's won the Dally M second row of the year. Canberra make the grand final. They don't get there without his influence. Like, he had that much of an impact. And Gordon, he played the same position as you, but he's unorthodox, isn't he? You know, like
he's a great player.
He's a different
on the
style
ball.
Of a prototype. To the traditional back rower these days.
He doesn't play the robot. He doesn't run the same lines all the time. He's got a pass. He's rangy. It'd be like tackling a bag of bones because, like, when you see him beat players and you think, God, how does he do that? And it's just sometimes you get those players' hoops and it's seriously, mate, it's like tackling a bag of bones. And, like, he's one of those guys and he looks like that everybody wants to play with him as well. Like, he's one of those guys that tackles well and he pops up and he'd be a nightmare for the blokes that are in front of him.
All right, I've got to take a break, boys, but we've got plenty to get through. We'll get an update on the great job that Peter Volandis is doing. We'll talk more about that. The referees have reached an agreement. And also, I call BS. We're going to talk about this, a couple of other littler things that are going on in the NRL. So that's all coming up as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to it with Paul Kent, James Hooper, Gordon Tallis and Maroon here. Maroon's poll today. All right. It's about player loans. Are you in favour of player loans? Should the NRL do it as just part of what we do? Your players can be borrowed, lent out to other clubs. There's a little bit of it going on in the NRL, certainly now with the Warriors. Are you in favour of player loans? Go to our Facebook page and you can respond to that. Now, just lots and lots of feedback via Twitter and email about mate, Johnny Bateman having a crack at you on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, the fans love it.
Alex from Carlingford says, Hoops, big fan of yours, mate. I saw what John Bateman said about you on Twitter. He said, I just got one piece of advice for you, buddy. He says, what other people think of you is what other people, just remember this, say this in your head. If it's bringing you down, Hoops, just say this in your head. What other people think of me is not my business.
Thanks. Was that Alex?
Alex from Carlingford.
Thanks, Alex. Oh. No, I appreciate your support, mate. Mm. Luckily, when you're as old and as ugly as I am, and you've got a good head for radio, you're accustomed to wearing a few along the way.
That's it, mate. That's the way.
Mm. And if you're a good sort like Maroon, what do you do?
Ooh.
Hey, Anthony. Ooh, yeah, I the Lebanese Lafayette.
That would crush. Mate, that would crush Anthony. Yeah. No, someone having a go at him saying that he's
people
not good at
what terrible things to me, Gordon. People like say, what? You know what people say to me?
What?
Oh, God, is that what you look like?
Yeah.
Oh, geez. I imagine you were younger.
I also say to her, oh, Billie Jean, always wanted to meet you.
Well, once I was at
Where's
the airport.
Where's your pearl necklace? Once I... The difference between you and Billie Jean is a pearl necklace. Oh, God. I love that.
Yes, it was good. Well, moving right along. Rabbitohs Radio. Blokes, Rabbitohs Radio is a podcast put together by some Rabbitohs ex-players and some blokes who just love the Rabbitohs. Chapo being one of them.
Chapo.
But local bloke around our neck of the woods, Chapo. And also a couple of ex-Rabbitohs players, Steve Maven, and Darren Brown. Rabbitohs Radio, all Rabbitohs supporters listen to this podcast. It's quite legendary. Through the week, our friend Mark Carroll went on there, and you wouldn't believe it, Hoops, you and I came up in the conversation.
Have you trained Fox Sports journalist there, James Hooper, mate? Apparently he's been putting a bit of shit on our mate Anthony Maroon, him and Kenty. We'll stay away.
I've seen Maroon doing padding or boxing in a park with our... And Scotty Geddes, it looked like he was throwing handbags, and the boys gave it to him. Who does boxing with glasses on?
Well, we're going to ask you who'd been this fight, James Triceps Hooper or Anthony Maroon?
Oh, mate, Hoops would hit him. Hoops would hit him without me left hand to be begging him for a ride.
So there you go, eh? Maybe not today because you're feeling a bit down today on the back of that Twitter. But
no one's down, Anthony. I think you're the only one who might be on Struggle Street a little bit. But I'll tell you what, you have made the paper previously for your boxing exploits. Yeah. I think Paul reported it on The Time.
Yeah, yeah.
At the time, Willie Peters thought an old lady was about to get her bag snatched.
But what's Willie Peters doing? I ask this question again.
Well, he just happened to be down at Maroubra Beach
with his camera.
I don't think did he have a camera?
He had a camera with a big lens on it, sitting in an old black car that he got from the Dragons when he was playing there 25 years ago, because he's too tight to buy a new one.
No, mate, he was down there getting a cup of coffee, and then he just happened to see what he thought was an elderly lady about to get her handbag snatched.
Fighting off a bag snatcher.
It turned out it was you hitting the pads with your glasses on with Scotty Geddes.
You see what happened to Willie Peters. He crossed me, and now where is he? Newcastle. So just be aware, you blokes. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and we'll talk more about Peter Volandis. It's Triple M Rocks the Footy.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M Rocks Footy.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back to the Sunday Sin Bin, listeners right across the Triple M network, just tapping into us via Cairns up there in Port Douglas, down through Townsville and Tully, right across to Fraser Coast, down into the beautiful... sunny coast, Brizzy, Toowoomba, all up in Queensland. We welcome you lot. And, of course, down here in New South Wales too, wherever you might be listening, or via the Triple M NRL app. We're all set to go for this competition kickoff on Thursday evening. So I hope you will be with us. And Dan will call that first game for you. We'll talk more about that game a little bit later on. Right now, boys, our chairman of the ARL is Peter Volandis, a man that has more than impressed all of you guys who are a rugby league journalist and Gordy, an ex-player. You've all done nothing but sing his praises. I think he's done a fantastic job too as a rugby league supporter. And we just are so happy that we've got football back so soon. But the boss man himself, Peter Volandis, kind of wishes he never shut it down. I want to play you some audio courtesy of News Corp.
If I hadn't the time again, I wouldn't have stopped the game. I don't think we were any risk playing on. If we had implemented the biosecurity measures we have in place now, look, there was the challenges in relation to the closure of the borders, but I think we could have got around all that. So if there was one regret, maybe we acted too quickly and maybe we should have waited another week to see the infection rates. I think what spooked us the most in New South Wales was the Ruby Princess, where 3,500 or 4,000 people got off the boat not knowing if they're infected or not infected. And that's probably scared me more than anything else. And that's why I think that we had no option at the time. But hindsight's a very valuable, great thing to have. And if I had my time again, As long as the government's allowed it, we would not have stopped. We've proven it in racing, and not only in New South Wales, but right around Australia, that if you have proper biosecurity measures, participants do the right thing and they abide by them, the risk is minimal. And as I said, it was 1,000 to 1 for them to catch it, especially with our self-isolation protocols that we were going to put in place at that particular point in time. So, using racing as the example, I don't think that was that big a risk for us to continue on.
Unbelievable. Hoops, he's, rugby league's been, no disrespect to anyone else, but I don't think rugby league realised how starving it was for a bloke like this.
We've said it time and time again, but he's the best leader that the game has seen since John Quayle and Ken Arthurson. He's a can-do operator. He cuts through what needs to happen and then makes it happen. Look, interesting to what Peter was saying there, that they had some advice from a biosecurity and pandemic expert at the time that they opted to shut the game down. And at the time, the infection rate for coronavirus in Australia, I believe, was up above 20% daily.
It was 23 at the time, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And so the advice from the expert was that they needed to stop the game. Peter Volandis didn't want to, and he was probably a lone voice in at NRL headquarters. But they did decide to. In the aftermath of that, then when the daily infection rate continued to come down and decrease, when the expert had actually predicted that it could in fact double, they moved the expert on. So they got a different biosecurity and pandemic expert, right? Or the other
perfect.
The other point about
you find
all
an
that,
expert until they tell you what you want to hear.
The other point about all of that is, as much as Peter's saying, he wishes he didn't stop the game. If they hadn't at the time, and they had been the only sport that kept going, the outrage merchants and the go woke go broke brigade. And the Fright Bats would have gone troppo.
I tell you
they
what,
would have
though,
gone absolutely burko.
I spoke to him at the time. I was in almost daily contact throughout that period with Peter as the game was going through this change. And he was very wary of the expert advice, and he obviously knew the new need that they had to take into account and heavily weight the advice that they were being given. But let's remember, like for him, and he said there, I think he's been a bit modest about, with the benefit of hindsight, even at the time, he didn't want to shut the competition down. And he showed that because, one, he told me he didn't want to do it, but the expert had really painted a dire picture if the game continued. The Ruby Princess broke the same week, which really put a lot of pressure on. But if you also look at the other side, he's the CEO of Racing New South Wales, and they haven't stopped. They put in similar biosecurity measures, less severe than what the NRL players are going to face because the NRL are more public, more high-profile game. But they put that into place, and they continued racing. And right now I'm watching something go around in Muswellbrook, hoping it gets home, because it's the only sport we get to watch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, they did have one little scare with the racing.
One out, one back so far, just letting you know.
They did have one little scare with the horse racing. We remember they had to shut all the meetings
Mark
down just for a couple
was,
of days.
Shared a flight with a person who, when he got off the plane, he learned that there was someone else on the flight that had COVID-19. So he told stewards at the track he was at. They immediately then shut down the meeting for the day. He went and got tested, came back. He was negative and resumed again. I think it was the grown-up way to do it. The one thing I'll say about all this is somewhere down the line, I'm talking about not so much sport, but from a national point of view, somewhere down the line when some virus breaks out that's highly contagious and also highly dangerous as opposed to essentially a strain of flu, Australia will be in good shape to handle it. This is our practice run, okay? Next time we won't take as long to shut down the borders. We won't take as long to start the isolation process. We'll all be familiar with it. We'll all get on with it. And it's probably inevitable that it'll happen at some point in our future, but we'll be in a good place to handle it. Being an island is also going to help. But, I just think, thank God, Volandis is there. If Todd Greenberg and John Grant or any of the other commissioners were running the game still,
it would still be shut down.
I'll tell you what would have happened. We wouldn't have played rounds 1 and 2. We would have shut down immediately. There'd be no plans to get the game back. And when the inevitable questions from us annoying people in the media, when are you going to start playing again? The answer would be once the government says it's okay for us to play again, which is very hard to criticise, but it's a really passive way to administer the game. And that's what Volandis didn't. Volandis understood the financial need for the game to get going. So he set about finding a way to get the game back and running because there were other factors at stake. There's every chance in another parallel universe that we could have got to September now with no rugby league having been played.
Mm.
And as he revealed this week in Buzz's yarn, up to six clubs could have gone broke.
Yeah.
We could have been coming back in for the 2021 season in a 10 team competition. That's the reality. That's what we've narrowly avoided. This is and this is such a great opportunity for rugby league. It's such a chance. There's not often in life you get the chance for a do over. Let's go. We've made a blue here. Let's just go and start again because you've always got to carry the baggage of what you've done. This has been so. So catastrophic for the world that everybody's had to go and adjust and relook at what they do. And this is a chance for rugby league, which has been going down a track for years now, which is not the right track, and which the people in charge of the game had no idea how, privately they would admit it, but they had no idea how to pull it back. This is a chance because they were... Part of the reason was the public shaming that would take place on them for allowing the game to get to that stage. But this is now an opportunity to say, you know what, this is what we need to do. And that's why I think the one referee, the six again, look, I don't know what the results are there. I'll give or take both of them. But I think we need to start looking at things like that. We need to also start looking at things like bringing the interchange down. And it needs to happen sooner rather than later.
Peter Volandis was such a street fighter and was so bullish about the way that he went about getting the game back up and running. He was actually butting heads with the government agencies the entire time and forcing them to make quicker decisions and forcing them. And they at times they were even saying, hey, can we just like pull back all the noise and all the front foot style of negotiation about getting the game back up by this certain date and the Warriors being allowed in and the Warriors getting an exemption and all those types of things. That's how good he was going.
Now, before we move off this topic of Peter Volandis and the influence he's had on the game, now through the week, obviously an agreement was reached with the referees. Also through the week, Hoops, you released, introduced, certainly me through your media role, to a chap by the name of Silvio Del Vecchio, the chairman of the Rugby League Match Officials, also owns a Brazilian laser clinic up there on the Sandy Coast. What can you tell me about Silvio's role?
Yeah, well, we hadn't previously heard of Silvio until he thrust himself into the spotlight and centre stage when the referees declared that they may need to strike as a result of the Australian Rugby League Commission reverting to the one referee system. And so we thought, well, we better go and do a bit of background on this bloke. Who is he and why is he in charge of the professional rugby league match officials? And in the course of doing that, we discovered that he owns something you'll be very familiar with, Anthony, a laser hair removal clinic up at Erin Affair on the Central Coast. And so that's what he does by day.
Well,
there's some strong talk around the game that you've already been in negotiations with that particular clinic. And once everything is back up and running again, you will be one of the faces of that clinic.
I have been in touch with Silvio. He was wanted to open negotiations and he's given me a $30 voucher for whoever wins
for your eyebrows.
Now, for whoever wins our trivia $30 to spend at Silvio Del Vecchio Central Coast House of Brazilian.
Yeah, look, he's a different style of a operator, Silvio. Look, to his credit, he was trying to do his best for the referees, but I think he tied himself in knots a little bit, and he was probably in the deep end of the swimming pool when he just needed to wade back down.
It was hard to know what he was actually arguing for. They weren't asked to take a pay cut. No one was losing his job.
No, he was arguing to get two ref. He didn't want to go back to the one referee system.
Come on, mate. But anyway, seriously, like the whole world... The financial status of the whole world's changed. The working environments around the whole world's changed. And his issue is that we're going from two refs to one. None of them have lost a job. No. None of them have to take a pay cut.
Yeah.
He saw an opportunity to get his name in headlights and in the headlines, and he dined out on it. Thankfully, to our earlier discussion point about Peter Volandis, he nipped it in the bud. Silvio wanted to go to Fair Work Commission New South Wales. They went down there. They couldn't sort it out by mediation. So Volandis organised a meeting prior to this weekend to thrash it all out. They did it. They got the deal done. The referees are happy. They'll all be on the field. We won't need to go back to Billy Harrigan.
Beautiful.
Bill.
All right, boys, we'll take a break and we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about Bill. We'll talk more about what's going on around the game. We've got some big interviews coming up as well. And, of course, your trivia today, because Rugby League is coming back on Thursday evening, all NRL-based questions.
Yes.
Or should I
Gordy
say...
Gordy and I'll have a shot.
Rugby League-based, yes. Not necessarily NRL-based. So all sorts of history of rugby league. But you're doing a great job here,
Hoops. I'll tell you another reason why you'll have a shot, because I'm not answering today if the prize is a trip to Silvio's hair removal.
It is, mate.
I've got two nude nuts here. Yeah. I'm playing against.
Yeah.
Like, why do I want to go to hair removal? Why would I even tempt it?
Well, I just put the Veet on me. I just get the Veet and then
the
wipe it
the Vaso. Off you go.
He rubs it into Charlie's chest.
Yeah. Right, are you, blokes?
I wonder why he hasn't calm been down. Back since you've been rubbing Vaso, mate.
Okay. All right.
Poor old Charlie. He's Hoops. Never recovered.
Yeah, Hoops. Charlie's one of the producers here, by the way. He just comes to work. He is a COVID-19 abuser. He says he's got the sniffles when he doesn't.
He tried to white ant you yesterday, Charlie. He wanted me to go on the Saturday Triple M show.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. Mm. He said, I want you to come on. I want you to talk about Johnny Bateman. Don't worry about Maroon.
Yeah.
Just come on with the boys on Saturday.
There is not an ounce of loyalty among any of you, is there? We'll take a break and we'll come back with more as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to the Sunday Sin Bin. Now, Parramatta fans, got a special treat for you coming up after 2 o'clock today. The coach of the Eels, Brad Arthur, will call in for a little bit of a chat. Some NRL news coming up today too. Just some stuff that caught some of us by surprise, like Andrew McCulloch off to the Knights. Didn't see that one coming, but we'll get to that. Right now, it's time for this.
From the makers of The Earth is Flat and I'm Only Having One Beer comes I Call BS.
Well, this is where you can just call BS on anything you like. It doesn't have to be rugby league related, but today for me, boys, it is rugby league related. It's not often rugby league related for me, but I just wanted to call BS on Canberra Raiders player John Bateman, who suggested Hoops should polish his bald head.
Here we go.
Because he's crap at being a journo. And like, I just, as your mate, Hoops, and as your mentor, I just take offence to this clown. He better hope I don't see him in the streets. Because this is, no one speaks to my mates like that.
Mate, if he bumps you in the street, I'll tell you what'll be left. Yeah. There'll be the tongue of one shoe and an eyebrow.
No,
that's
mate,
it.
Listen, you've been bald since you were 19.
Like a kitten, wouldn't you?
Yeah. I like to stand up for me mates. You know I'm rock solid. And this bloke Bateman, he's lost my support. That's what I call BS on.
I tell you what, you get pretty good there. Like you're like a really good mat.
I know.
Hair,
this doesn't go anywhere.
Doesn't go anywhere.
You wouldn't believe how many times I've got to get it cut. It just grows so quickly.
I know.
The BJK.
Mate, I'm sticking up for you. I know you feel bad about what happened. And
I don't feel bad.
No, you
why
do.
Would I feel bad?
Because I can see it in your eyes, mate.
Oh, shut
There's
up,
Is somebody
Anthony,
having a go at you because you're bald?
Dribbler.
There's nothing you can do. You've spent more than half your life bald.
Mate, do you
and you're not a bad journalist.
Do you honestly reckon with a head like mine that it would worry me, a bloke bagging me about being bald?
Well, mate, I can see...
There's hope for the world. If I've managed to somehow forge a career on television, there is fair dinkum hope for the world, Anthony.
Exactly.
So a couple of little
and that's not just your
pot
hair.
Shots on shitter doesn't worry me.
Just your hair. And he's had a crack at you being
I'll
a journalist.
I'll call BS on Johnny in relation to... I got the utmost respect for John as a player. I think he's really tough. He was one of my favourite players last season, the way he punched above his weight. And
not anymore, though?
No, he's still one of my favourite players. But what I won't cop tips about him... is calling me a shit journo because, with due respect to John, if he wants to tell me how to run a good line or how to bash somebody, fair play. But he wouldn't know the first thing about being a reporter. And despite, contrary to popular belief, it's not the easiest gig in the world at times. And you've got to butt heads with people and you've got to have robust conversations and you end up in stinks like this.
Yeah.
So that's part and parcel of it. But I stand by the story. The story is 100% accurate and we'll see where Johnny ends up playing next year.
Well said, Hoops. What would be your tip? Where do you think he will be playing next year?
If I had to call it right here, right now, I reckon the Bulldogs.
Okay.
I think the Bulldogs will offer him a 4-year deal beginning from next year on 800,000.
He's contracted with the Raiders next year.
Yeah, I know he is. But he's got permission, which we've since clarified, and Donny Ferner went on the record about that yesterday.
They'd release him early, would they?
They would, yeah. Well, if he gets offered 4 years at $800,000 a season, I don't think they'll stand in his way. They've got that much respect for him.
Wow.
Okay. Paul, would you like to call... Gordy, would you like to call BS now?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously we've been missing the footy, so just over social media, they've been picking sides and players and all that kind of stuff in our own Fox. I think they had someone the other day. I'm just glad that they're not sitting on the Hall of Fame committee picking, you know, the greatest players. You know, I think Bradley Clyde didn't even make, you know, like a final. Like Bradley Clyde is probably the best number 13 to have played their game. Obviously, Tamalolo hasn't finished his career, but now he's probably the only guy that might take his mantle. But Bradley Clyde doesn't even get a mention. Mm. So for all those guys that are out there on social media, think about the ones before that. And all the guys about my age and Paul's, you know, they're not on social media, so they don't get to vote on a lot of these things as well. So I like to call BS on some of those teams that have popped up and, you know, players that have won some of these polls.
Good on you, Gordy. It is a bit of a you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't, though, these picking your favourite players. But, Paul, would you like to call BS?
I'll just add to that. I'll call BS on the fact Benny Elias is in the Hall of Fame. That's okay. My campaign for the year. Benny Elias should be in the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
He's not in the Hall of Fame. Mm. Everyone I talk to about it assumes he's already there, which is why I think there's not an outrage that he's not there. Benny Elias changed the way hookers played the game.
Well, he was like a halfback. He was, wasn't he?
Mate, before Benny Elias, hookers were dour second rowers who could pass. That's the style of player they were. Mm. Benny came in, he had a kicking game out of dummy half. He could play first receiver and kick there on the fifth if he needed. He had the show and go. He had deception in everything he did. Everything the modern hookers build on these days came from Benny Elias. And I just think it's disgraceful he's not there.
They had that, just to your point, they had that classic major semi between Souths and Balmain from 1989 on Fox League last weekend. And Balmain don't win that game without Benny. Like, he charges down a kick when the scores are really close. But just to your point, this shows you how versatile and how creative and how good Benny was. So he charges down this kick and then Balmain score through Andy Courier off the back of it and go on to win the match. But then later in the game, as it's winding down in the closing stages, Sean Edwards actually comes on off the bench and ends up playing hooker for the Tigers. And Benny just slots in at first receiver. Yeah. And plays it off a break. No issue whatsoever. So
look, 89 grand final, regard best ever. Benny was the best player on the field. He doesn't win the Clive Churchill medal because he was in the losing team.
And his field goal was 2 inches higher, Paul,
they win the game. But he was the best player
on the
field.
Paul was 2 inches higher. Sorry, Paul.
What was that? Sorry, I was talking while you were interrupting, Gordon.
2 inches higher. But, hey, can I raise this, though, before we close the door on Benny?
Can you raise his chair?
Can we? I was at the 86 game. You would remember this one, Paul. The 86 game at the SCG.
Oh, with Mario.
Yeah, when he got Mario sent off.
Talk us through it.
Well, I don't. Next thing I know, there's a blue on and Mario's gone.
There was a scrum and didn't Benny bite
South
his hand?
South were in that game. South probably would have won that game.
Benny bit his own hand and he said the referee.
You serious?
Benny bit his own hand and then told the referee, Mario bit me. So the referee said, Mario, you're off. Send him off.
South had
one of the many
of
injustices.
Game.
Poor old Benny was he used to get the better of Mario all the time, and Mario is so honest and such a decent bloke. It was an unfair fight.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. But Benny used to do that all the time. Benny was one of the great sledges, one of the great sledges, and he
most of them you can't repeat.
Most of them I can't. Oh, look, there's a classic one that
there's
goes around the game.
There's one from that game, I think.
There's one from that game that just put the
might have involved one of the other playmakers.
One of the South players right in his place.
Does Mario and Benny get on now?
No, I wouldn't say they get on. No. They're polite to each other, but they're never going to be mates.
Okay.
But I'll tell you something though. Like, I know Benny gets a hard time off people. One of the great joys in rugby league and about rugby league is, and I've seen it a couple of times in the past few years, is we have the occasional get together with Fox Sports and whatnot, right? And Hoops is there and Gordy's there and whatnot. And I remember last year we're at a pub having a few beers and Blocker and Benny were talking to each other. And these are guys who have got nothing in common in their life outside of footy.
Mm.
Okay, they just live completely different lives. But they played together for a long time. They played next to each other for a long time. And they made each other better as players. And here they are on this day last year having a beer with each other. And I remember sitting there, and I was the third wheel there for a while in the conversation. And I remember thinking to myself, there's nowhere on earth these two blokes would rather be than right here, right now in each other's company.
Mm.
They were just enjoying each other so much.
Yeah.
And, yeah, the day wore on and everyone sort of had a, you know, you start to drift from group to group and you're talking to different blokes and all that. They just stuck next to each other the whole day. And when one started to move, the other just invariably drifted over as well because of how close they are. And I thought it was just a really, you know, it's hard to describe, but it was a really nice example of what rugby league can actually be to people. Mm. That here are these two blokes who first met each other more than 30 years ago. And like I said, they've got in their lives now, there's no crossover in how they live their lives other than the fact they're mates 30 years ago and would still do anything for each other.
Yeah.
And yet here they were that day and they just sat there and just what they enjoyed more than anything was just each other's company.
Mm.
And I think that it was a really lovely thing to see out of two blokes. We won't admit it about each other, but they just enjoyed being in each other's company all day. Just didn't leave each other. It was really nice to watch. And I thought that's the best of rugby league right there.
Testament to that as well. You know, the rest of us all started to peel off in various directions as the evening wore on. Those two kicked on until well after midnight together, side by side.
All right, boys, I need to take a break. When we do return, though, we'll have Brad Arthur, coach of the Parramatta Eels. We'll have a little bit of a look at that game that kicks off the season. Broncos-Eels Thursday evening on Triple M. Hope you can join us as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.